Amen. Boy, that was good singing this morning. That's what I love about the hymns, you know. They have depth and meaning, and it's such a blessing to hear a whole room full of people singing about what a wonderful Savior He is. And, man, it was just so good. Praise the Lord. All right, this morning, this is going to be kind of a different kind of message, and there's going to be some Bible turning and stuff like this, but we're going to come back here. But when God saved Paul, He gave him a job to do at his salvation. And Paul's testimony of what the Lord told him to do was this. He said, "Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." This is what Paul recounting what God told him to do was in Acts chapter 26. He said, I've done this for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that he may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified. So Paul was a wonderful apostle. And most of the New Testament that you read, 13 books written under grace, was written by the Apostle Paul. He revealed to us salvation by grace through faith alone. He revealed to us eternal security. He revealed to us the mystery of the body of Christ, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? And Paul accomplished what God sent him forth to accomplish. And he did it in a wonderful way. But you know what? He came. I wasn't alone. I did not accomplish the job that God gave me to do alone. And here are some people that I would like to recognize as contributing to me doing what God called me to do. And as it is with Paul, so it is with us. And we're going to see this pattern in the Bible where God gives a job to a man to do, and then he surrounds him with people to help him do that job. And maybe people would say, man, Paul was the greatest apostle. And you would say, yes, he was, but he had great helpers. And if anybody ever says Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church is a great church, and they have great pastors, the only way that will ever be said is if we have great helpers. Okay? Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to see something here, and then we're going to look at this pattern that we see in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul here is speaking about the body of Christ. Okay? The church is the body of Christ, okay? The local church is part of the body of Christ, okay? And Paul is telling them how to think about themselves collectively. And he says in verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ." Okay, so if God is going to do something, He uses His body to do it, okay? And so He says this, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. They're gone. Do you understand that? There are no more apostles. To be an apostle, you had to be witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You had to see His baptism. And we see that in Acts chapter 1. The prophets, the Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. We have all the prophecy we need here. Now the gift of prophecy exercises as a speaking gift to tell forth what God has done. So He said He set some in the church, first apostles, they're gone, prophets, they're gone, and then He said, And thirdly, teachers. Well, the Bible talks in Ephesians about pastors and teachers. That office overlaps. It's the bishop. It's the overseer of the local assembly. Okay? So that's who there is there now. And then it said, after that, watch this carefully, miracles. That left with the apostles as well. You can't work miracles. And if you think you can, come over to my house and we will test it. You are not a miracle worker. Even if you think you are, you're not. I'm sorry, but you're not. Okay, and healings. You're also not a healer. That doesn't mean that God does not heal. He cannot heal. God does heal. And God does answer our prayers. And God does bring healing. But you are not a healer on demand. And if you were, you should go to the hospital. And the reason you don't go to the hospital is because you're not a healer. Okay? So these are the gifts. And then it says, what's the next one? Helps. The gift of helps. So what do you have? You have pastors, teachers, and you have helpers. And that's how God uses the body of Christ to get things done. Helpers. You're a helper. I'm a helper. We help each other to do what God has called us to do. And so God sends help in many forms. I want you to understand, ultimately, all help comes from God. Do we understand that? The Bible says, God is my helper. I will fear not what man will do unto me. The Bible says this, vain is the help of man. So God is our helper. But you know what? Many times what God does is not only does He send help in the form of His Word, and He sends help in the form of His Holy Spirit, and He sends help in the form of rain that comes down and feeds us and sunshine and comfort, but many times He sends help in the form of humans. Okay? Now let's look at this pattern in the Bible. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look here at and see if we can see this pattern a couple times in the Bible. And then we will apply it. Genesis chapter 2, if you will go there. God created Adam out of the dust. And He gave Adam a job to do. Okay? And if you look at Genesis chapter 2 and look down to verse 18, He says here, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now Adam was not alone. He had God. God was Adam's first helper. Do you understand that? God brought the animals to Adam to see what He would call them. But he was alone in the fact that he needed some more help. Okay? And God said this, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. So God gave Adam a job to do. And He said he needs help. And so He, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, the fowl of the air. And then Adam gave names to them in verse 20, to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Okay? So there was no suitable helper for Adam. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God taken out of man, He made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay, so God said Adam, his helper, he needs to be of the same nature. The animals are not suitable helpers. He needs a helper that is of the same nature and of the same spirit. And so he made Eve. And Eve was there to help Adam. Adam had a job to take dominion, wasn't he? To be a keeper of the garden. He was supposed to replenish the earth. Well, that's kind of hard to do alone, isn't it? And you know what we are supposed to do as the church? We are supposed to take a somewhat spiritual dominion, and we're supposed to turn people from darkness to light. And we need more help than a computer. We need help of our same nature, of our same spirit. And this can only come in the form of other people that God has made and created in His image that have the Holy Spirit and that understand us. Okay? So let's see if we see this pattern repeated. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And that help that God sends is in the form, it was in the form of Eve. She was there to help Adam. By the way, Adam is a representative of the Lord. And Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. And the church is God's helper. It's the Lord's helper. And that is the human form of help that God has sent the world so the Lord can accomplish His mission. Bringing the gospel and preaching the gospel and saving people from their sin. So Numbers chapter 11, there's another man that God gave a job, and his name was Moses. And Moses had an incredibly large job. You know what Moses' job was? It was to deliver the children of Israel from slavery and from bondage. Okay? And bring them to the promised land. This is our job. Our job is to tell people of God's deliverance and the Passover lamb and the provision that He has made to release them from the bonds of sin. Okay? So here's Moses, and this is his job. And let's hear him tell you about his job and how difficult it is in verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? You know what Adam's saying? This is too much. Do you hate me? Why do you give me this big job to do? I cannot do this. He said, have I conceived all these people? Are they my children? Have I begotten them that they should say us unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father? I don't know what a nursing father is, but maybe we could find that in the original Hebrew. But I'm just kidding. Beareth the sucking child and unto the land where thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give all this people? I don't have what it takes. And then look what he says in verse 14. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me. Boy, leadership can be a lonely place at times. Being a father and a husband can be a lonely place at times. Being a pastor, this can be a difficult place. Can be heavy. And he said, if I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness, my inability to do this. And what is the Lord's answer to Moses' problem? Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be of the elders of the people and officers of the people, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me. He said, get 70 other men and bring them to the congregation, and they will stand with you, look at this, and I will come down and will talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And that's what God wants to do here. He wants to take the Spirit and the calling that He has put on the leader and have other people minister in that same Spirit. So how Moses ministered to people, how Moses cared for people, is how they would minister to people and care for people. Okay? Now, let's look at the New Testament. Let's see if this is repeated. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Okay? And now we have come to the New Testament church. And here, the New Testament church, they begin to experience problems. And the problems get too much for the apostles to bear. Acts chapter 6. You will see it here. Acts chapter 6. And verse 1, the disciples increase. And then this problem arises. People start murmuring and complaining because the apostles aren't able to do all the work. And what was God's solution? He said, choose out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. You see, there's the same Spirit, the same nature. Okay? And those 7 men are going to be able to help you in this work that you've called them to do. And then what happens when that goes into place? Verse 7, the Word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. What are we saying? The pattern is when God gives a leader, a man, a job to do, and that job becomes too heavy and too big to bear alone, He sends helpers. And those helpers have a part in it. And those helpers are, in large part, the reason why the man is able to accomplish the job that God called him to do. And so we see that. And now, if you go back to Acts chapter 16, Paul had the job. Go start churches. Go preach to people. Go write the things down that I tell you. And deliver this truth to the people. And out of all the influential people in the history of the church, Paul was the most influential when it came to the Gentile church. That's us. Okay? Bringing the gospel, starting churches, missionary work. It was Paul. But it was not only Paul. It was the people that we're about to read about. And we're going to look at a few of them. It was these people. Do we want to see San Antonio change? I mean, do we want to see some of the things that Paul accomplished? Do you realize Paul started a church at Ephesus and the church changed the culture so much that they got in an uproar and they said, you're changing our economy. And our craft of making idols and silversmith, it's threatened because these men have turned the world upside down. Listen, do we want to see people saved? Do we want to see marriages restored and homes put together? Do we want to see our neighbors saved? Do we want to see people turn from darkness unto light? That's what the Lord has commissioned us with. And it's not just going to be Pastor Ashton and Pastor Bez, okay? But it's going to be us together. As it was with Paul, so it will be with us. Paul, you have a job to do. Thank you. But I would like to salute, and I would like to take, but don't avoid these people. Go and talk to them. You know, there's two primary things in this list of people. There's labor and there's relationship. The beloved. Right? Those that were in Christ before me. My kinsmen. You know, the Lord said when you got saved, you would have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers more than ever. These are people that Paul loved. These are people that Paul, they were precious to him. These were people that partook and helped God get the glory for what He was doing. And as it was with Paul, so it is with us. The church and the people here, you are the greatest asset that the Lord has given us to get the job done. You have an ability and you have an opportunity to take a part in something that is far greater than anything else that's going on in San Antonio in 2024. Do you realize you have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in San Antonio, Texas? A part of seeing people's lives changed and turned around. Where they can sing with us in the morning as we sang with tears in our eyes, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." What an opportunity. So let's look at how this help is manifested and the gift of helps works in human condition. And we'll just look at a few here this morning. But look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. And I love this. My helpers. In Christ Jesus. What an honor. They helped me. And if you want to, you don't have to if it distracts you, but if you go to Acts chapter 18 in verse 1, you can see how that help came about. And it says, Paul goes to this city called Corinth, and it says in verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come to Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. They're there because of persecution. Their lives are turned upside down, and Paul goes to this place to begin a work for God, and he found Aquila. And he began teaching Aquila and talking to Aquila. And it says, and verse 3, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought with them, for by their occupation they were tent makers. God used business to bring them together. He used that they were of the same craft and they did the same thing. And they started joining together and working to provide for their physical needs. And they said, Paul, you need a place to stay. We've got here a little before you. We have a place to stay. You can come and stay with us. He stayed with them a year and a half. That's... It's one thing to have people stay a little while. It's a whole different thing when they stay a year and a half. And then, but look what he says in Acts chapter 16 in verse 4 about them. They've laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He said every church of the Gentiles, not just me, every church owes them a debt of gratitude. Why? They laid down their necks for me. Do you realize that Paul was, he was not a guest you could hide? I mean, Paul would go down to the synagogue and he would begin preaching and get in arguments with people and they would want to kill him and stone him and he's starting fights with the Jews, he's starting fights with the silversmith and they say, where is this guy staying? Yeah, he's staying with Aquila and his wife Priscilla. And Paul, you know, this is dangerous. You know, Aquila, listen. People are going to come kill it. It's okay. If they kill Paul, I would be glad to die with him. He's doing the right thing. He's standing. The time was so fearful that the Lord came to Paul in a vision and he said, "Don't fear. I'll take care of you. You just speak what I wanted to." That God had to comfort him that way. Priscilla and Aquila were involved in all that. They stood with them. They laid down their necks for him. Can we do that for each other? When it's right? Can we stand with them? Or do we always... I don't want to get involved, you know. He said, they're my helpers. They stood. Many of you have stood with me. You're my helper. As we're all helpers. Man. Greet the church that is in their house. What church is this? This is the church at Ephesus. This is the church that Timothy went to pastor. This is the church that the Apostle John lived out the last part of his ministry at. This is a church where Mary, the mother of Jesus, attended with John. That's Ephesus. This is the church, this is why you have the book of Ephesians. Do you see why every church of the Gentiles should give Priscilla and Aquila thanks for what they did? Paul, you should start a church. This is great. People need this. Yeah, well, we need a place to start it. Well, we can start it right here. We can do it right here. Yeah, but a bunch of people are going to come and it's going to be a great expense. And man, you talk about a stressful, a sacrificial, an expensive endeavor. He said, they helped me. They helped him with logistical support, with physical support to help them. Now look at verse 6. Greet Mary. You know what I love about this passage? There's so many women in here. And sometimes people get the idea of Christianity that, oh, it's a male chauvinist thing and the men are the only ones that can help. Listen, we owe a debt of gratitude, and everybody in here owes a debt of gratitude to the women of our church that labor. And he said, hey, when you go talk to Mary, she bestowed much labor on us. You know what that... Behold what manner of love the Father that He bestowed on us, what manner of love? That means it cost the giver something. That means she wearied herself and she got tired in the work of the ministry. Do you understand that the work of the ministry is work? Do you understand that? Do you understand the work of the ministry is such that Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you? Do you realize that in the work of the ministry, sometimes you fall down on your pillow at night, exhausted, physically exhausted from the work of the ministry? Let me ask you this. Honestly, when is the last time that in the work of the ministry you became physically tired? You know what we've done? We've reduced the work of the ministry to sitting and financially giving. But there is not many people that work their fingers to the bone and get physically tired. Think about what God spent and bestowed upon you. And we can't break a sweat for God? It's work. It's work. Jesus said, work for the night is coming when a man will no longer be able to work. You know, in my family, everybody has chores. Everybody has responsibilities because they are going to contribute to the house. But you know what? You will find many people are willing to take and not to contribute. Is the only thing that makes you tired is the boss and the yard and the gym? Have you ever gotten tired for God? He said, greet Mary. You know all this stuff that's happening? I want you to go say hi to Mary because she bestowed labor upon me. What did she do? I don't know. Did she cook for him? She washed his clothes? She worked? She wearied herself. Look at verse 9. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ. Man, Urbane, say hi to him. He helps me. Look at verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. And those are not supplements. But they did supplement the work of God. I mean, I read that and that looks like a supplement. But that's exactly what they did. It says, who labor in the Lord. Wow. Look at verse 12, the end of it. Salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Look at verse 21. Timothy, my yoke fellow, my work fellow. You know what Timothy did? He was there beside Paul in the fight. He worked with Paul. He paid the price. You know when you work with people, you bond with them? Do you know that? You bond with them. And you know this because some of you spend more time because of the way our calendar is set up and the clock is set up and the curse is set up and we have to work to earn our living, some of you spend more time with the people at work than you do your own spouse. And you know what happens at funerals where people are still working? The work fellows come because they're bonded to them through work. Do you want to be bonded? Work with us. Do something. Do something. Take a part. Find, you know, the kids, they'll, who didn't do their chores? Work. Because it's not, listen, it's not about, we said Baptist Church needs this. It's not about Paul needs this, the pastor needs this. It's about I get to be a part of what God is doing. And I can get tired for God. And I will be recognized. And God is not unrighteous to forget my labor of love. And I think about the people that made themselves tired for Paul. And I think about the people in this church that have made themselves tired to be a blessing to me. Men and women. They have worked themselves to the bone for the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Paul, I would say salute them. We owe a great debt of gratitude to them as we accomplish the work of God. Look at verse 22. Salute Tertius. Who, look what it says. Who wrote this epistle? You know how Tertius helped Paul? Tertius? Yes, sir. Can you get your quill and a bottle of ink and a big roll of parchment? And I am going to talk and I want you to write a bunch of Greek down. How much energy would it take to write the book of Romans? With quill and ink. And if that wasn't enough, Paul said, oh, one more thing. Right, I, Tertullus, salute you. You know why that's there? Because Paul told them to write it. Listen, we're reading this book, okay? It wasn't just Paul. We're reading this book because of that man right there. I'm just going to talk. The Lord's going to tell me something, and I just want you to write it down. What a blessing. That's how he used his gift and his literacy. What better use of that could be done? And then look at verse 23. I love this. Gaius, my host. Listen, Paul was staying at his house, and guess who else was staying there? Tertius. Because he had to be there to write. Hey, look at 3 John. 3 John. Look at 3 John. You know, Gaius was famous. Look at 3 John. This is the blessing that Gaius got out of hosting Paul and being hospitable. John, the Apostle John. Could you imagine getting a letter from the Apostle John, the disciple who laid his head on the bosom of divine compassion, the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's what John said to him. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Look at verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. I have no greater joy, verse 4, that my children walk in truth. Look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully thing whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Look at verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. John was in Gaius' house. Paul was in Gaius' house. Strangers were there. Brethren were there. And you know what? When they went around and stood up and gave a testimony, they say, I was at Gaius' house, and he helped me, and he blessed me, and he was hospitable, and he was compassionate to me. And then it says, he brought me forward after a godly sort. Look at verse 7. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be, look at that, fellow helpers of the truth. He was hospitable. Do you realize Abraham got his blessing because of hospitality? Do you realize Lot, as wicked as he was, got his blessing because of hospitality? Do you remember that Manoah, Samson's father, saw an angel and he didn't even know he was an angel and said, let me cook for you. And he got his blessing. Verse 16:1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, the servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in whatsoever business she hath, because she had been a succorer of many. She ran to their aid and their help. You know, the Bible says, he is able to succor them that are tempted. God can help you. And that's what she ran to the aid. And now if you look at the last verse, and maybe your Bible doesn't have this postscript, but mine does. It says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Written to the Romans from Corinth and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. Paul was taken care of by the saints. Paul was loved by the saints. Paul was helped by the saints. It was not a one-man effort. It was a bunch of people that helped him. And all the blessings we receive today from the Apostle Paul's ministry was because of a group of people that when most people read the names, they brush over and they think they're nothing. Because they're not the face. But they are the mechanism and the way that God brought Paul help to get his job done. As it was with Paul, so it will be with us. So it will be with me. Pastor Ashton, if God calls him eventually to be the senior pastor at a church, if anything is ever good is said there, it will be because of the people that God sent to help him and help me along his way. So do you want to be a part of it? Get to work. Let's do something and let's do this together for the Lord. I'm going to have the piano player come forward. We'll pray. Lord, I thank You, Father, for this pattern that we see in Your Word. And Lord, thank You for the help that You send us in the form of human companionship. Help us to not be prideful, but receive that help in our own life. And Lord, help us to be excited about laboring in Your vineyard and in Your work, and growing tired in the ministry. Help us to not be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit serving the Lord. God, help us to understand You did everything for us. You saved us. Our salvation is secure. And we can work from a place of security and help other people get the things that we have done.